Romans 3, verse 23. I want to talk about the origin of sinfulness, and as it is true with many core doctrines of Scripture, this is not known in any practical way by our world. It is not known. And if it is known, at least by fact, it is not known in any way to move a person to truly consider the truth of this. So Romans 3, verse 23, Paul writing here says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Let's pray. Lord, the fact that you tell us we fall short means that we can find a cure for that in the gospel. And to not be told that, Lord, although it irritates some people to hear the gospel, to not be told that is the worst of judgments. To be left in the dark when there's a light, when there's hope. And you don't do that, Lord. You proclaim the gospel to the world. You send us out into the world, and we proclaim a gospel of forgiveness that a person might be saved. And Lord, I pray we would see more of that, for Lord, the world is in a sorry state when we are without you, which we see very amply in these days. Bless our time, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's something in your house right now. I don't want to scare you. There's something in your house right now that's got something wrong with it, and you don't know about it. And the reason you don't know about it is because, as far as you can tell, it's been working fine for a long time. I can't imagine any invention, anything that would be made, that would not have some little something wrong with it. The more complex, the more that possibility is there. And in time, whatever's wrong with what's in your house will surface. It'll stop working. And it won't just necessarily be because it got older. It could be a design fault. Or you may one day walk into your kitchen, push that fancy button on your refrigerator that gives you water, and it showers you with water. And that's never happened before, but it was hiding inside. It doesn't just come. It was hiding inside, ready to do it. But if something works well for a while, it gets through quality control at the manufacturer, we consider it to be useful. It's good. I'm not sure kids today would even know what a slinky was. You kids know what a slinky is? Okay, good. You got good parents. A slinky works. All the slinkies we ever had as children, they worked. And then they stopped working. And you know what made them stop working? They got so tangled up, you could not make them anymore. So we ended up with slinkies that didn't slink anymore. Well, we get another one. Sometime they'd come in orange or something like that. They were really fancy, but you get the same problem. Now, they wouldn't work forever. But when they left the factory, they're fine. It's just in the course of time they stop working. The space shuttle program, in spite of two catastrophes, two of them blew up And yet, it's considered a marvel of engineering, an unbridled success, and it is. But there was something wrong with every one of them. And a few times it surfaced. Human life is made by God and is really a marvel to behold. There are people who actually, if you look at my drawings in Sunday school, you think nobody could ever draw. But there are people who actually can do that. It's amazing. There are people that go down to the beach. You know, I used to take a bucket of sand and turn it upside down, and there you got a castle. A little inside of a pail of sand. You walk down the street, somebody's got something that's got a moat, turrets up, flags on it. It looks like a masterpiece. Different skill levels. People are nice. People do good things to one another. There are people who are amazing to hear about. People who don't know the Lord. And that is a confusion for some. The Bible says, Psalm 139:14, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Many get confused by the wonders of creation. And they think this person who does good things is not a sinner. Because look at them. They are doing so many good things. And they say men are basically good. Because look, there are some noble features in men. Well, what that is not that men are good. It's that they're made in the image of God. Being made in the image of God persists even in sin. Everybody's made in the image of God, every person. We're able to do things that God does. In our level, we do nice things. We're able to do good things. You ask someone for help, people come and help you. That's because we're made in the image of God, not because we're holy, not because we don't have sin inside. A person can know Bible facts. A lot of people know Bible facts. Doesn't make them good. It means that in the image of God they've been made, they can learn things. They can learn the Bible by the grace of God given to us. They can know Bible facts. They can know that Jonah was swallowed by the whale or about the flood. And it has no connection necessarily to being holy. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, not even one. So we've been studying the nature of man as revealed in Scripture. If I have a plant question, I ask Jerry. Jerry, I said, what about this plant? Jerry knows plants. I know them not. And so I asked Jerry, you know, and Jerry knows about the plants. Well, it's important. If I said, Jerry, what about this plant here? I don't know, just pour some acid on it, see how it does. You need to know about the plants so you know how to care for the plants. Why is this bush not doing right? Well, there's a reason for that. And so a person knows plants and knows yard things and outdoor things can tell me that. And then you can treat them right. So it's even more important if you... talking about men, what is it that make men the best they can be, the way they're supposed to be? We started by looking at the perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the communication of God to us. Then we noticed that Jesus, saying he was a standard, then said that men were not the standard, that men were untrustworthy. You cannot go to men and find out how men are supposed to be. Then, we studied man was made in the image of God. It means we have reason, we're able to express creativity and various other matters of communication. We're able to do that in the image of God. Then we consider the dual nature of man, that man is not just a body, but a body and a soul or a spirit. And last Sunday we looked at how sin was assessed by God and how it was assessed by men in Matthew 9. The sinners knew they were sinners, and Jesus ate with them. The Pharisees didn't know they were sinners and were fussing at Jesus for meeting with sinners. And the concept of man today is handled as though man has no user's manual. There are places on the internet you can go, people will put a picture up saying, does anyone know what this is? And what do you do with it? And people will say, yeah, I know what that is, if they respond and know what it is. So they say, this is it and this is what you do. Well, men have been given a user's manual in the Word of God. And by having that user's manual, we know how people are supposed to be. And if you refuse the user's manual, you may not know how to use the item. I get the sense that people today don't know how to use us. People say we're supposed to be something we're not. They can't get the genders right. They can't get sexuality right. They can't get anything of what we're supposed to be right. And there's a reason they're not reading the user's manual. It's prime importance for men to know that they're sinners. We sent up the Hubble Space Telescope several years back on the space shuttle. And when it got in orbit, they found out it was not in focus. I'm not a NASA engineer. My thought would have been, though, if I had been asked to advise, would be to put it in focus while it's on the ground. They had to go up in a special shuttle mission and replace the mirrors that had gotten out of line. And apparently they were out of line when they left the Earth. You need to know that. So when it goes up, it's right. Men need to know they're sinners, not just clinically. People say, oh yeah, I'm a sinner. They need to know it by conviction. It needs to bother people that they're sinners. They can't just, yeah, I'm a sinner. It needs to bother you. It needs to make us fear God. Otherwise, like the Pharisees, we don't try to get well. So let's look at what the source of sin is. Where does it all start? Well, we see in this text, Romans 3:23, that sin is universal. All have sinned. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. 1 John 1:10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. You're saying, what crazy person would say we weren't sinners? This gets into philosophy. People are always philosophizing on something and making obvious things not obvious anymore. And the Gnostics believed that they were a body and a spirit, and that the spirit was them and the body was what they were in. And that the body would be sinful, but they themselves would not be because they were the spirit. And so they would claim that they did not have sin because the body was matter and it was sinful anyway, and there's nothing you can do about that, so that didn't count. So they were righteous, they didn't have sin, so they didn't do anything about repentance and faith in Christ. That would be to make God a liar. That all have sinned. As it says here, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. To say you've not sinned means you don't need forgiveness. If you don't need forgiveness, then you keep your sin. Romans 3, that whole passage there, which goes through all the Old Testament scriptures, Romans 3 verse 9, Paul says, what then, are we better than they? Not at all, for we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There's no one who does good. There's not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And yet people say they're fine. And the call today is to accept people and affirm people in their sin, rather than saving them. And so it's of prime importance that we know we're sinners. And to respond as sinners to God. Some people say, I don't need forgiveness. I'm as good as anybody else. Or that sin isn't that serious because everybody's got it. Or that God's goodness will just overcome it someday and forgive me. Kind of by default. But the Bible says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. The goodness of God doesn't make us, isn't to make us think we don't need forgiveness. It's to bring us to repentance. We all fall short of the glory of God. Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. And they do. Creation declares the glory of God. The devil in the world always twist what God does into something else. You know, it's evolution now. It's all the rage. It's been for some time. But we're created, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, we're to do everything we do for the glory of God. Everything is to be done for the glory of God. We're created for the glory of God. That means we are to reflect the image of God in a way that glorifies God. God pronounced we were very good at when we were made. We were the pinnacle of creation. And humans are able to glorify God because we're made in the image of God. But the glory of God, if we were to meet it, would be perfect holiness. We fall short of that. And that means we are guilty before God. And all men fall short of that, short of righteousness, short of holiness. Our behavior is marred by sin. Even our best, Isaiah 64:6, says all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. One thing the gospel does is first convicts us. And then gives a solution. It's like mentioned in Sunday school this morning. It's like the diagnostic tool says something's wrong. Then, here's the medicine for it. The gospel is the medicine, but it also shows that we're sinners. Where did sin start? What's the source of sin? Everybody's a sinner. Where did that start? Well, it has a definite historical point where it began. And that is in the Garden of Eden. If you're going to find out what's wrong, the diagnostic tools will take you to the heart, to the root. So where did sin come from? Are we born with it? If we're born with it, there's nothing we could do to not have it when we're born. So is a little baby born in sin? Does a little baby have sin and that baby grows up and starts acting up? Is that baby going to possibly be an angel? Or will that baby be a sinner? Do we get it after we're born? We're going along fine. Everything's going great. And we bump our head and say, oh, and we get mad. Oh, now I'm a sinner. Where do you catch it? Before you're born or after? Natural philosophy and natural religion always finds a source of sin after birth. You catch it after. And society infects us. There's a lack of equity. You know, today the big thing today is we need to be equitable. Everything needs to be fair for everybody. Fair and equal opportunities. They don't mean it, but that's what they say. And some people don't have jobs. And some people don't have money. So some people say, we got to pay people more. People that don't own businesses. we got to pay people more. Just pay them more whatever they need to live on. Because we got to be equitable. And there are people out there who wound our fragile spirits. Well, we got to stop all that. So all we got to do to fix the world is to make everybody equal and stop everybody else from hurting everybody else. How easy is that going to be? I can't even herd four cats in our house. It's time for treats. That cat there, this cat here, that cat there, this cat over here. Herding four cats. John Wayne never had to do that. That is impossible. And the world today is trying to fix the outworking of being a fallen creature by philosophy that says, well, let's just make everybody equal and treat everybody right. And it won't ever work. Parents forever have been blamed. The big thing of psychology became back when the dawn of psychology, you're the way you are because of your parents. Your parents didn't stroke your ego properly. And God help you if your parents spanked you. Then you're warped forever. And so parents are the cause. There are so many possible entry points for sin when it's outside after birth, you can't ever find the problem. I used to be a golfer, as you know. Very simple with golf. On the green, there is one hole. And they stick a pin in it to show you where it is. If you put 100 holes on the green and one of them is the right one, you're not going to know which is the right one. And so our world is trying to fix a problem that has a single source by looking at every possible source on earth. That would be whatever the population is right now. Is it 7 billion? That many possibilities to fix all the inequality and inequity, to fix all the financial disparities, to stop every unkind word. It's maddening. And there's no hope. And it's like, you know, you'll never get there if you're honest. Our current world is running wild trying to find out. Every trigger point that causes a person to be upset, oppressed, hurt. We can't even have people thinking things that society doesn't want us to think. College kids can't hear differing opinions about political points. They have to have safe places. There can't be any hint of racism or sexism or gender phobia We can't say what our gender is without offending somebody. And they're pushing down globs of metal called statues so that people will be better. If you don't understand the basic problem, you don't know what to do. And this is what's happening today. They don't know what the basic problem is. Nobody will ever be fixed by that. They just won't. But the thought is, when we all get all this outside stuff in order, everything outside, we got to get that in order. Because that's where they see sin coming from. When that's all put in order, we'll all be good. But you see, we'll never get there. There's a joke about a person looking for something under a street light, and they say, what is this where you saw it last? And he says, no, it's not where I saw it last. I lost it back up there somewhere, but this is the lightest place to look. You're looking in the wrong place. And sinners don't want a solution from God. They want it to be within themselves, because we rebel against God by nature, and we don't want God to be brought into it, because then we have to be thankful to God. We have to do the will of God. We'd have to serve God. Man, that's not, no. Sinners characteristically don't want their problem to be them. They want it to be somebody else. And it always has to be others. If your problem is somebody else, you are hopeless. Let me word it this way. I will be happy as soon as the government spends only what they take in and do not spend any more than that. And then I'll be happy. When will I be happy? Not ever. As soon as babies stop crying when they're hungry, then I'll be happy. You'll never be happy. To say that your problem is because of somebody else makes you a slave to them. Until they get right, you can't be right. The Bible doesn't teach that. We don't have to wait for others to get right, because our trusting is in God. We have to please God, not other people. If we're right with God and God fixes our problem, then that is a problem that will spill over into all of the world. But the world is not doing that. The world is trying to micromanage every little bitty itsy thing. It's not even an offense. In order to get the world right. Well, third, man is born in sin. This is the problem. Do we sin because we're sinners, or are we sinners because we sin? Well, we sin because we're sinners. We are born that way. If after birth we got sin, well, it would be possible for someone maybe to not get sin. Heretics are always saying, you know, we can keep the law perfectly. Since God tells us to keep the law, we can do it. So it's a choice, some people say, after. But the source of sin is not the world in general. It's not all these points all over the world. It's one man, one occasion, Adam, in the Garden of Eden. Look at Romans 5. The reason I'm not using this passage as the text this morning is because I preached on it, you know, a year ago. So I wanted to expand it out a little bit. But here's the definitive teaching that man is born in sin from the sin of Adam. And in following that man gains righteousness by the righteousness of Christ. But it says here in verse 12, Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. That in a sentence, he cuts it off and starts commenting on it. But that sentence says that sin came through one man and the consequences. And then that sin spread to all men because all sinned in Adam. And in Adam, since we're people, sin is communicated from generation to generation by the seed of man. So Adam sinned. Adam gave birth to Cain and Abel through Eve, and they were both sinners. And on and on and on. Sin is communicated, and death is the penalty of sin. And it says in Romans 5:17, death reigned from Adam, to Moses, even before to the law. Death is the consequence. Everybody died. Adam sinned, but verse 17, for by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. One person sinned, everybody died. One transgression, condemnation came to all men, verse 18 of Romans 5. Through one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Verse 19. It's very clear. Our sin comes from Adam, so our sin is with us at birth. Is that little baby, cuddly little thing, it's so sweet. Is it going to do anything sinful? Give it a couple of days. More than that. To be of a mind to sin, I mean, it'll get down the road a little bit, and then you'll see that your little sweetie baby has a sin nature. And the older we get, the more it becomes apparent. That is the problem. That is also the solution. The solution is by the act of one man. The solution is not to go out to India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, the Soviet Union formerly, and all these places through the world and fix everything. It's not to go to places and put our Western ideas into their minds and things we consider to be right that aren't right a lot of times. It's to go to Jesus. One man brought sin, one man brings righteousness. It's very simple. It's been made enormously convoluted. The pointer to where sin comes from is not out there, it is in here. And so every time we have a situation we want to address that is not proper, people are looking in the wrong place. You want to deal with racism? Do people, if you really want to get rid of racism, you know what you do? You get people saved. The love that comes from our hearts, that God is no respecter of persons. They will reflect God, who is no respecter of persons. There will not be that. There's not as much as what they claim now. But that's the way you deal with it. The problems of crime, the problems of people not knowing what they're here for, all of these things do not find solutions out there. They find solutions in here. And through one man, Jesus Christ. It's made very simple. The time comes when something stops working in your eyes. And I've already predicted it, so don't blame me when it happens. I'm just the purveyor of information. Something's going to break. Hopefully not in the next 2 months at least. And so what can you do? You can't repair it anymore. It just completely blew. So what do? You get a new one. That is a simple solution for every malady in the world arising from human behavior. Is your heart is bad, you get a new heart. Barry Pruitt was laying in the hospital. He had a heart attack, and they did bypass surgery. When he came to, the surgeon said, you've got a new heart now. He said, I got one of those a long time ago. When you're saved, the Bible says that God gives us a new heart and a new drive to please Him. So get a new heart, not a blood pump, but a new you, made new. Any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Get a new one. And that comes by not having Congress or every other person on earth trying to walk on eggshells around people, changing names on buildings, pushing down statues, looking for every little microaggression that you can find and eliminating it. It doesn't come from that. It comes from what? Through faith in Jesus Christ. One man, because through one man, sin entered the world. One man brings righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that it is so simple. Not so simple that the world accepts it, but it is simple. People want to make it more complicated, I think, because they want to boast in their reasoning, or they don't want their sin to be dealt with. But Lord, we thank you that sin in us comes from birth, but that's encouraging, Lord, because everybody has it. No one in the world's causing it, and no one in the world can fix it. Only you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn book.